if you're a parent, you know about DARE and what the cops do when they come to school, and to help your children understand a lot of things in life. And this morning we're going to talk about the 20th anniversary of DARE. And this is Minnesota This Week, a public affairs program from Radio City Network News. And this station, I'm Curtis Beckman. Our guest this morning is Kathy Ackerman, who is Executive Director of Minnesota DARE. Good morning to you, Kathy.
Good morning.
You have been involved with this organization for how long?
12 years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. You know everything, man.
I don't know if I know everything.
Just about, I'm guessing.
Quite a bit.
DARE, simply put, is putting a police officer in public schools, maybe even private schools, mm-hmm. to teach kids of what level? Grade 5, principally.
The program is actually kindergarten through 12th grade, but okay. You usually see them in at the 5th grade in particular.
Yeah. And so that's what DARE is, but DARE, like so many other things, suffers with the economy, doesn't it? It depends on having an officer in that community who is up to speed and who can go into the classroom and do what you want them to do.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's not so easy, is it, during a hard economic time?
No, because we're talking about two areas that are often victims of budget crunch, and that's education and law enforcement. Right now in particular, you know, schools are trying to get in all of the testing requirements. And so we bring in an outside program to try to help kids with drug issues or other life skills. And so we end up bringing in this additional program. And then we have law enforcement sitting here, and they're also facing the budget cuts. Now, who pays?
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement wants to bring in a prevention program to help kids because it reduces crime, obviously, and certainly it helps families and keeps communities safe. The schools would like to do that, too. They've got these standards they must keep up to, and then it becomes the issue of who's going to pay the price.
Yeah. Difficult times. What does DARE stand for?
Drug Abuse Resistance Education.
And how long? It's been around in Minnesota for 20 years?
It's been around a little bit longer. Minnesota.
I would have guessed longer.
Yeah. Minnesota DARE was actually incorporated in 1990, so it's our 20th anniversary this year. The DARE program was started nationally in 1983 in Los Angeles. And if you remember back to those times, drugs were becoming very visible in crime, gangs, things along those lines. And, in fact, that's the time when Nancy Reagan was coming out with Just Say No and what have you. Well, law enforcement was getting bombarded on both coasts, particularly with cocaine coming in at that time, and decided to do an interesting pilot program with the school district in L.A., where the school district would allow an officer to come in the classroom to talk to the kids about drugs.
Is this
drugs.
When police were assigned to schools also?
They were assigned to schools at that time.
For safety purposes?
For safety purposes, not really. You know, that's kind of before we did the whole liaison programs. These DARE officers came in, and they were more a friendly officer that came in the elementary schools to develop relationships with kids, pretty much in a mentor role, where they would talk to them about things that maybe parents weren't talking to kids about, or helping parents with some of those same issues, and developing a relationship with the kids that helped aid communities in that whole community policing mm-hmm. time period that was going on. That was happening on both coasts in the early 80s, and then, of course, the crime and the drugs began to move across the country, as we've seen happen many times. The economy was low at that time, which means usually crime and drug usage goes up. And so it was in the later 80s that Skip Humphrey was the attorney general, and he heard about this project in L.A., and sent Norm Coleman, who worked for him at the mm-hmm. time, to L.A., and there they were trained in the DARE program, trained our first officers, and brought them back. Because Skip did not want this to be a governmental agency, Norm developed the nonprofit Minnesota DARE, who now conducts a DARE program. So it's often a misconception that we are a governmental program. We're a nonprofit.
Yeah. But the police officers get trained. What do they need to know extra to go into school? I mean, most of the officers, well, I guess not most, but many of them are parents, so they have to have some knowledge of the territory.
They do. And sometimes they're criticized for not being teachers, but being in the classroom, but they do have a lot of street knowledge.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we use the DARE officer is because of that. They know what's happening in the neighborhood. But we bring the officers in for a very intense two-week training that they always say is just about as bad as boot camp.
Oh, really?
Because they are trained to do law enforcement. They came to law enforcement not to be a teacher, but to be a cop. So in 2 weeks, we try to give them some of the basics on being a teacher in the classroom, how to handle the classroom situation. Obviously, when you're dealing with elementary kids, you don't go in and you don't tell them all the things that you're seeing on the street.
Right.
We know scare tactics in themselves don't work. So we try to bring in more age-appropriate things. We train them in that. We train them to talk to kids and work with kids in the classroom, how to do a lesson plan, how to answer questions, how to involve kids in the discussion. That training is actually conducted by the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension for us. And
Not so, the Sheriff's Association, not the police officers,
nope.
Peace officers. It's with the BCA then?
Yep.
Okay. And so intensive 2 weeks of training. How long before you have to have retraining?
It's continuous.
Every year?
They have a conference. The Minnesota DARE Officers Association sets up an annual or biannual conference for some in-service training. Part of my job is to continually send them updates because, as you and I know, things change in the drug area quickly.
Yeah.
So we continually pump them new information as often as we can.
Who does every community, every police force participate? What options are there? Maybe you have to opt in rather than opt out, huh?
Well, yeah, opt in. We offer the DARE program to any school and any police department in the state. DARE gives the curriculum free to any school or police department, sheriff's office, that wants to conduct the program. The problem is, obviously, economic issues and things along those lines, but if a school district can't find a police department to teach their program, say in Plymouth, which I know has the DARE program, the police department doesn't teach it, the next course would be for us to go to the sheriff's office in Hennepin County, ask if the sheriff's department would want to teach it. Yes, they
okay.
do. And if that didn't happen, that neither one of them wanted to, we can always try to contract someone in to
okay.
the program to do it that way.
So the cities get in. Are there many communities, let's say in the Twin Cities, that are not included?
Yeah, there is a lot of cities that over the years have dropped the DARE program. A lot of them pick it up. It comes and goes. It seems like when chiefs and sheriffs change, sometimes the philosophy changes. I know there are some chiefs and sheriffs that feel that prevention is education. The school should do it, and they should do law enforcement. Some schools will change it back and forth. We're the teachers. We should teach it.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on the philosophy.
What kind of assessments do you do, have you done over the years? How do you know if it works? We'll get into the controversial nature of it in a moment, but do you have any mechanism that helps you assess its effectiveness?
The DARE program has had over 50 independent studies done. It's the most studied prevention program that's out there because it's the largest. We're worldwide. We're not only across the country and in all 50 states here. So we continue to do studies on the curriculum. The curriculum has been updated 9 times since 1983. Things change.
Who does that then?
It depends on what.
I mean, do you have a board of directors who decide where you're going to go?
In Minnesota, DARE, we have a board of directors, but we don't conduct the studies. Nationwide,
okay.
they have a board of directors as well at DARE America who would determine that, but a lot of the studies are done independent of us. University of Akron doing one of the most recent studies of the DARE program. And then we take those studies, we learn from those studies, the curriculum is redeveloped and changed as best
mm-hmm.
we can.
Mm-hmm. And so kids and those kids in school, don't they, or their parents have an opt-out if the parents don't want their kids in it?
Yep. A letter should go home. We give the letter to the DARE officer to give out to the schools, telling them that their kids will be participating in the DARE program, telling them a little bit about what the program is about. And if they don't want their student in the DARE program, they certainly can opt out. also, throughout the course, there are parent take-home sheets. Most of the parents say, and we believe, too, that parents should be the ones to talk to their kids about some of these issues. We certainly agree with that. Most parents are a little concerned about, what do I say and how do I do it? So we've developed parent take-home sheets so that it would go along with the lesson they learned. Today, your student learned this in the classroom. Here are some questions or things you can discuss with your child. Dare doesn't teach morals and values.
Well, that's good.
Dare just gives basic information, mm-hmm. and the parents, that's their job to put morals and values on it. Nobody is condemning a parent for smoking or having a beer. That's up to them to talk to their kids about, right. not us.
And so this goes on, and the police officer comes in. Does he go for an hour? Does he go for a full morning, an afternoon? What is the nature of the presentation?
The actual fifth grade DARE program is set up for 10 lessons. And 10 lessons at 45 minutes to an hour would be the ideal.
That's what, once a month then?
That would be more like once a month for 2 months, or once a week for 2 months or something
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay.
We do two semesters of DARE. Usually, we're just now graduating the fall semester kids in the program, and then the second semester will begin here shortly. But the officer comes in for an hour, 45 minutes, half hour, whatever we can get, talks to the kids in a very interactive lesson. The kids usually are given some homework assignments or something along those lines. Oops, take home sheets for the parents, and then they come back again the next week. Now, 10 weeks... can't cover everything that a child's going through. So in today's DARE course, the basic course is about making decisions. Taking kids through, okay, you have a problem. You define your problem. Somebody's trying to get you to smoke. We assess the situation. What's going on here? We teach them how to look at the situation they're in. What are the consequences? There are always consequences of your actions, and to determine what those consequences are. And then you make your choice and respond. You know, there's no right and wrong response mm-hmm. to any problem. And then finally they evaluate their decisions. We're all going to make mistakes, learn from them, and go on. That's what we basically do in the 10 weeks, is cover information like that. We also have supplemental lessons that schools and police departments get to pick out depending on their communities. One would be methamphetamine, over-the-counter prescription drugs. Bullying, cyberbullying.
You do that too.
Internet safety as well. Any safety issue that affects children and families usually comes to the DARE officer's attention. We were talking earlier about the DARE officer's role in the school as being they used to come in and be a friendly officer and what have you. Now schools have been cut back so bad, their counselors may be in there once a week, once every 2 weeks. Their school nurse is there once a month. The officer ends up in a lot of different roles.
Okay.
And so now the officer helps support all that. Unfortunately, our officers are just cops.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when you ask me...
Who decided to be a two-week teacher?
Exactly.
Right.
So when you tell me about ask me about the education piece... This is a continual process. The internet changes on a regular basis. Cyberbullying changes on a regular basis. You and I had talked earlier about over-the-counter prescription drugs and some of the ways kids are obtaining these and what have you. That information has to continually be pumped into an officer. But the officer needs help. So the DARE program has also expanded. We now work with the Minnesota Pharmacists Association, who comes in with the officer to talk to the children or parents about over-the-counter prescription drugs and drug combining. Officers don't know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with some physicians who are helping us as well with those discussions. When we're dealing with internet safety and cyberbullying issues, the Wetterling Resource Center and DARE are trying to work together in a program. They've been working this area for a long time. We already work with Missing and Exploited Kids, the BCA. We need to bring in more partners who can help the officers. They don't all understand the internet.
Right. Right.
And we certainly need that extra support. The University of Minnesota Extension has helped us with the bullying program in the classroom. They already do that. Why wouldn't we just help pump information in through the officer and help get it disseminated?
Yeah. And so this is very much broader than I imagined it was when some of my kids were going through it. And I thought it was one officer for 1 hour for 1 year. And maybe that's what it was in years past. But on the other hand, it's far more complex now, it seems to me,
right,
with what you're describing here.
And actually, the program, and we were talking earlier about studies, the studies are often on the fifth grade alone. And the fifth grade, when you study it, only shows short-term impacts. You got to reinforce anything that you're talking to the kids. The DARE program is actually has a kindergarten through fourth grade component to bring the officers in the schools and get them comfortable with the kids. Some people aren't comfortable with cops. It takes a while to build that trust. At that age, we're talking to the kids about different topics. We're talking
at which age?
At the K through 4.
K through 4. Okay.
We're talking to them about things like bicycle safety, wear your helmet, wear your seatbelt. We may touch on smoking and drinking because some of the schools, depending on it, are kids are already getting introduced to that at the very young age. Friendship issues. If you want to stop bullying, you got to teach a kid how to be a good friend. So they talk about those issues to the K through 4. Junior high, we have a DARE program that comes in at the junior high where the officer actually takes a role where they step back a little bit because at that age the adult becomes not
cool.
And the peers take over. We let that be more a peer-to-peer. That is the age group where the peer pressure gets heavy. If you pull DARE out at the junior high, you're really doing a disservice to the kids. That's when they really need the support. And then, of course, we have a high school program that is almost all peer-driven. And in that case, you've got kids who are maybe standing up and saying, you know what, it is cool to be healthy.
Yeah. And so the officers, are they interchangeable? Do they wear each hat for all of these different age groups? Let's take a big department, for example, Minneapolis or St. Paul. How many DARE officers do they have?
Minneapolis and St. Paul right now do not have the DARE program. Hennepin County is teaching some schools in Minneapolis, and in St. Paul you've got Ramsey County doing some schools in that area. We have a lot of schools in those areas that have been asking for the DARE program, but we don't have DARE officers right now.
And that's because of staffing in those two big departments.
Or policy changes and things along those lines. You know, and if they're putting in another prevention program that's working for them, you know, I don't get paid according to the number of schools I'm in. Go for it. You know, prevention is just important.
Yeah. We're talking about Minnesota DARE this morning, and its 20th year of organized existence. And this is Minnesota This Week, a public affairs program from Radio City Network News. And this station, I'm Curtis Beckman. Let's get back to the controversial part of DARE. I'm taken back a little bit that Minneapolis doesn't have DARE officers, but what you have described now makes it almost a full-time position for an officer or two or whatever in these police departments to make all these schools and to do all that you ask of them. Is that true? And then why is it controversial? Why is it mercurial when it changes from one chief of police to the next? Why the controversy?
First of all, for the DARE officer and all those roles, a lot of departments can't do that. They only teach in the fifth grade.
Okay.
Right now, we're working on a pilot project with Sheriff Stanek in Hennepin County. And because of staffing issues, we're looking at using his reserves to help the DARE officer teach some of the other sections. For example, the kindergarten through fourth grade or the bullying section or something along those lines. We've got to spread this out a little bit. As for the controversy of DARE, and actually coinciding with that, when Minneapolis dropped DARE, it was in the mid to late 90s, that an article was written on DARE by a man named Stephen Glass.
Local?
No, not local. This was a national thing. And he wrote it, and it was put in New Republic Magazine and Rolling Stone. And it has some very negative things about the DARE program, almost laughable, some of the things that he brought up about DARE. And the article obviously got attention because DARE at that point was growing. And I think when you're dealing with some issues like drugs, alcohol, tobacco, there's always going to be a little bit of controversy with that anyway.
Because it's age sensitive.
It's age sensitive. And I think I need to point out right here, too, that DARE is for kids 18 and under. You know, we're not even on that controversial topic of 18 and beyond. And I don't think that's controversial at all. Not too many people are saying kids should use drugs, alcohol, or tobacco.
Right.
But anyway, he wrote the article, and it was picked up by 60 Minutes. And so a news report went out as well. Well, Stephen Glass was found, and anybody can find this out there on the Internet, to have fabricated stories, was fired as part of a lawsuit. He had to make public apology to DARE, but, of course, that was never published.
Mm-hmm.
You once get the name controversial DARE, you always have the name. You know,
yeah,
it seems
yeah.
to come up again and again. Since that time, many people say, well, the studies say DARE doesn't work. I always like to say, and which study is that?
Because there have been so many.
Exactly. And in what topic can't we say the studies say that writing speeding tickets doesn't work? Are we going to stop writing speeding tickets? What would happen if we did?
Mm-hmm.
There have been many, many studies of DARE, and again, almost all of them would show short-term results at least. Usually very positive changes to the community working with law enforcement, very good community policing, which we know, if we went by other studies, says that community policing is good.
Yeah.
But instead, they retest the kids, they test them after they take the course, and find that it has maybe two-year delays. They test them again at 12th grade and say, the kids using DARE doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do a program at 5th grade and expect the results to last till 12th grade without any reinforcement. I only wish I could take 10 weeks of math and be able to pass the GRE or the ACT or whatever. You can't do that. You need more.
Why 5th grade, though? What's going on with kids in 5th grade? Why not 4th grade? Why not 6th grade? For this intensive or that directed training?
The reason for the 5th grade or 6th grade, some schools do it in 6th, is because kids have not started using, in most cases, and I'm not going to say it all by any means, and the age seems to come down a little all the time, but we want to grab the kids before they start because it's much...
Before they attempt it?
Yes,
even?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you want to get the knowledge with the kids so that maybe they can get that idea that they don't have to use before they start using it. The studies do say that if we can delay the onset by at least 2 years, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could keep coming in every couple of years and delay them starting, that would make a huge difference to the cost to society.
Mm-hmm. And so, but it is the 5th grade, and the thing that makes some parents uneasy, I suppose, is that maybe you get some children in the 5th grade who are perhaps a little ahead, a little behind the others, and... the age-old question then, is this police officer giving this child ideas that he or she hasn't had yet? Is that the crux of it?
It's been brought up before that that we're teaching kids about drugs and maybe giving them an interest in it. I would encourage those parents to go to a DARE classroom because you're certainly not hearing positive things about drugs. And the main drugs that are discussed in the 5th and 6th grade are alcohol and tobacco.
That stuff's at home.
Exactly. So, you know, you really should be talking to your kids about the effects of those. And we don't even have to go with just the studies say. Now we know that they cause health risks. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk to the kids about.
Is there sensitivity about that then? Because those elements are so common at home.
I think there's fear. I think parents are afraid that they look bad to their kids because they smoke. Well, our officers may smoke and drink, too. Nobody's saying you can't smoke or drink.
Mm-hmm.
We're not out there passing judgment on somebody. We're just asking you to talk to your kids about it. Nobody is wanting their kids under 18 to do any of that. First of all, there's horrible health risks because we know that the brain is still developing until possibly age 25.
Right.
And using those chemicals can damage that growth of that brain. And then also... It's against the law. Now, the cops didn't develop the law,
right?
But they're asked to enforce the law. So they're trying to get out there and enforce that. We also know that if kids don't start smoking at a young age, their chances begin to go down on them being addicted to it. It becomes more addictive the younger they start. And with alcohol, we already know how destructive that is to kids. They have a hard enough time behind the wheel of a car with a cell phone and all the other things they have access to. Alcohol doesn't need to get into the picture. You know, I think that we really need to look at talking to our kids about healthy lifestyles. If you smoke, chances are you don't want to. You'd like to quit too. Tell your kids that. Just be open and honest with them.
And I suppose, you know, all of us parents have had our kids come home from schools and rag on us for not using seatbelts, rag on us for smoking, and other things. They do that.
Right.
I guess it doesn't matter if it's a DARE officer, but somewhere along the line, somebody has suggested to them that this is not good behavior.
Exactly.
And so if the police officer comes in and says it or repeats it, maybe it's a better message then. What kind of reaction do you get from the teacher or from the education groups like PTA?
PTA, parents, educators love having their DARE officer in. The response on all surveys done has always been very positive on it. Teachers are asked to do so much. And now you're asking them to talk about drugs and alcohol. Where are they going to get their education on that as well? So to have an outside speaker come in and give them a break for for a little while to talk about
good
something.
Good information.
Exactly. You know, and same with the parents. How many parents want to talk to their kids about these issues and say, I don't know when, I don't know what, you know, I don't know how. And if we can open the discussion, you have the perfect opportunity to follow in and talk to those kids about those issues.
All right, I'm a parent, and my school doesn't have a DARE officer come in because it's been eliminated somehow from the budget. What can I do? What would it cost for me and other parents, like-minded parents, what would it cost for us to gather up some money and put a DARE officer in a classroom?
Well, first of all, the curriculum is free. The workbook costs 89 cents. And places that can't afford it, Minnesota DARE tries to raise the money to give even the workbooks for free. All the other stuff that comes with DARE, the t-shirts and stuff, isn't necessary. But then we'd have to get you an officer. So it would depend if the local police department or sheriff's office would be willing to do it, and that would be their first step, is to contact those people and say, we want DARE. Then we would talk to that chief or that sheriff about getting their officer to school. If they don't have anybody available, they certainly can contact Minnesota DARE, and we can see about bringing somebody in. If we can't get them a full 10-week program, like we can't. Some of the schools like St. Paul is struggling, and it isn't because of the chief. He would love to have DARE in. Financially, they're having problems doing something like that. We can bring in supplemental programs. We can at least bring them presentations on bullying, cyberbullying, or some of those other things.
Is there any help from the state when the state budget is a little bit better than it's been? Is there any help from the state coffers?
We don't get any state funding. DARE doesn't. We were eliminated from the budget way back in the late 90s. So everything we do is nonprofit. There's always some hesitation to ever go after state money because you're afraid you can rely on that and it's gone too quickly. So the only funding we actually get from the government is from the law enforcement departments and giving the officer. But there is another avenue where that money comes in. Drug fines have to be used for prevention education. A lot of departments pay for their programs through those drug fines. And that's where
that is drugs that have been confiscated.
Yes.
From criminals.
Fines from those drugs, from drug crimes of some kind. Confiscated vehicles are those DARE cars you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you see those are a confiscated vehicle. And the other way is there is a crime levy that a lot of school districts use. It used to be called the DARE levy, but now it's used for a lot of other safety things as well. But that's how they get some of their funding.
In the last half minute or so, Kathy Ackerman, your web address or where people can learn more and how they can get in touch with you?
They can go to mndare.org, or even DARE America's website has some good information on it at dare.org.
Well, interesting. Kathy Ackerman, Executive Director of Minnesota DARE. This has been eye-opening for me. It's far more complex than I remembered it, but when my children were younger. And quite interesting to hear you speak about it with such skill. Kathy Ackerman, Executive Director of Minnesota DARE, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
And this is Minnesota This Week, a public affairs program from Radio City Network News. And this station, I'm Curtis Beckman. We'd like your comment. Please write to Minnesota This Week in care of this station. Or write to Minnesota This Week, Radio City Network News, Post Office Box 390-292, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55439. Thank you, and good morning.